Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life, Lord. And again, we're grateful to be in the house of God. Dear Father, we'll soon be commemorating that day and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Though it may not be the exact day, there was an exact day. We praise your name for that. And again, we know this one of these days, this life's going to be over. Life is short until you come back for the church, though, or take us through the exits of death. We want you to be the foremost of our lives. And dear Father, I pray you'd meet with us today. Help this frail body be the instrument that God could use. I pray somehow or another, Holy Spirit, you could exalt the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this service as we serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy with me, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And I want to speak to you this morning on God revealing himself. There's one thing that I believe with all my heart. God chose to reveal himself through words. And he documented the word of God for us to have, brought it through the veil from his side, the flesh, into the materialistic world, that you and I may have the word of God. Now, let me ask you a question before we read these two scriptures. If you were going to have someone reveal yourself to someone, would you rather do it yourself or have someone else do it? And I would say that probably you'd want to say, if I'm myself revealed to someone, I want to do it myself. One reason is because if you would be truthful about yourself, you'd want to reveal yourself in that truth. If someone else revealed you, they probably miss some things because they don't know you. Amen? Someone doesn't know me. They try to reveal who I am. Only God can do that because he knows me inside and out. I can't reveal you. You can't reveal me. Now, I can make opinions about you and you make opinions about me, but I could be wrong with opinions. But God desires to reveal himself. And yet we have a generation of people down through the years since God created Adam and Eve who wants to try to reveal God in their own way. And God doesn't allow that. He reveals himself, and he does it through the Holy Bible, his holy word. I read where there was a city man one time that decided he'd ride through the countryside, and he was riding out to the country, and he saw this young boy, probably 10-year-old, in the yard. He was shucking corn, and he pulled up to the yard, and he said, son, he said, that corn looks a little yeller. He said, yes, sir, that's the kind my pa plants. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. He said, yeah. And he looked at it again. He said, you know, looks like that looks a little small. I bet you didn't get a half of a crop this year, didn't he? He said, no, sir. My dad's a tenant farmer. He had to give the landlord half of it. Well, this guy, evaluating, thought this little boy was being smart. And he said to him, as he got through that, thinking he was being kind of sarcastic, and the only thing he was doing was just telling the truth. And he said to the little fellow, he said, you know, I assume you think you're pretty near a fool, aren't you? He said, yes, sir, about 10 feet, I guess. Well, he's smarter than the man thought he was, wasn't he? When you evaluate other people, you miss a lot of things, not understanding where they're coming from. I heard where there was a preacher. Years ago, when I was a boy, it was nothing uncommon for me to see men on the street corner preaching where I was came from in the 40s and 50s. You don't see that now. If you did, you'd be arrested unless you had a permit. They know you're going to have a permit to preach. They won't give you one to start with. You have to go somewhere else to do that. But anyhow, this guy was preaching on the street corner, and an atheistic fella came along and said to him, he said, you know, I know this fella. I know his dad. He said his dad used to drive a wagon led by a donkey. And he tried to insult him. And the fella stopped and said, yes, sir, you're so right. Said, my dad did. He used to drive a wagon led by a donkey. It's an amazing thing. My dad's gone, the wagon's gone, but the donkey's still here. Amen. Well, when we evaluate things, whether it be old or young, one more and that's it, then the rest of the time is going to be serious business. Amen. But I read where this young 5-year-old boy, his mother took him to a garden club meeting. And he walked in, there's a teacher that was there. And the teacher looked at him and said, son, you look kind of smart. Yes, ma'am. He said, I can count to 10. She said, you can't. I want to hear you count to 10. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She said, that is great. That is wonderful. Can't believe that you could count to 10 like that. He said, who taught you? She said, who taught you how to? He said, my grandpa. She said, well, Did you know what comes after 10? He said, yes, ma'am, a jack. You got to think it's that though. I imagine Mama didn't want Grandpa to teach him anymore after that, did you? Well, we're going to talk about God revealing himself. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture, you know this by heart, but look, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture you have of God's holy word in your hands, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I believe this Bible to be the absolute Word of God. It is not the result of men writing in their own thoughts. And yet it is the result of men writing God's thoughts as He moved upon these people. I have record of that in Isaiah chapter, down in Isaiah chapter 55, where the Scripture said in verse 11, so shall, God said, so shall my words word be that goeth that forth out of my mouth, it shall return unto me, and not it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 8 said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now I believe that. I believe if I'm going to understand who God is, I must listen to Him describe Himself. Without that, my thoughts are not His thoughts. My thoughts cannot get to the level that God is in this flesh because of the sinful of the body, because of the nature of the flesh. God has to elevate that higher if it's going to get any higher. And since I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, based on faith in what God said He would do and give us His Spirit, and He said He would give us His Spirit when we trust Him as Savior. Acts 15, verse 8, He tells us we got His Spirit. We see in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8, He tells us we got His Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for the sake of time, I won't be able to read all these verses, but in chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians, we have these words that are written. In chapter 6, in verse 19, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, when did you get the Holy Ghost if you're saved? When you were born again. So again, over and over in a variety of ways, God in this book tells us the day you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the day that I trust Christ as my personal Savior, He gave us His Holy Spirit. Now, that's the quicken and awaken. I open this book and it becomes nothing but dry dust to me unless the Holy Spirit reveals it unto us as we study it in categorical information, get the categorical information and put it in its right context. The Holy Spirit gives me confidence in the Word of God. I've seen evidence that comes from archaeology. I've been to museums and see things in terms that I've been to even Jerusalem Museum and see the archaeology discovers here about God and what He's done in the past. I've seen the miracle evidence from time to time. I've heard read the prophecies that are prophesied and seen the scientific evidence that has been presented to try to show the Scripture to be the Word of God and show that God existed. But ladies and gentlemen, these things strengthen the faith that the Holy Spirit planted in my heart when I trusted Christ as Savior. None of those things ever outweighed this book. Not one thing I've ever seen with my physical eye or heard or read about archaeology and other findings outweighs this book. Because man has been proven times to be wrong in what he says he's found. In fact, there have been times that people were duped and thinking something was done when it was nothing but a lie. Just seen some of that this past week on the History Channel. The not true knowledge of God comes from the Bible. The true believer acknowledges that the Bible is the source of all knowledge about God. Reasoning, experiences, religion, philosophy, these things do not bring the knowledge of God. Now, every once in a while, they intersect with truth. Yes, they do. Why, even a clock that's broke will be right twice a day. Do you know that? You go home, look at your clock. If it's not working, I've got three or four wristwatches in my drawer that I don't know why I got them, they don't work. But they're right twice a day. That shock you? So same thing. Truth interlocks sometimes. Philosophy and these things and reason interlock at times as they cross path. But thank God we have the Bible, which is the absolute Word of God. Neo-Orthodoxy says that the Bible just contains the Word of God. You listen to what speaks to you, they say, and if it speaks to you, then that's God speaking to you. You better watch that, unless you know it is God's Word. If it's not God's Word, then how do you know when you're reading it through what is God's Word? Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me say 100 times, I don't want the responsibility to have to decide if this is God's Word as I read it or not God's Word. It's His Word before I read it, or it's not His Word before I read it. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem of our day. If I don't have the source of information to read by or to study by, I don't know anything about God. And so what I hear, and I'm glad in our day, we have His preserved Word for us that we can actually study. Some say it's just a book of morals and ethics. Then there are some people who won't say these things, but they live like there's nothing to it whatsoever in their life. We live in a world of matter where we cannot know what is outside this world without help. Our soul gives us conscious life. And anything beyond this life, we don't know. We have a lot of things that people say, but you cannot prove it. You cannot prove it. Only what God says is truth. As a matter of fact, if you hear what most people say, that when they die, what they see, everybody's going to heaven. This Bible says that's not so. You go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. We will never know about the true living God. Listen to me. We will never know about the true and living God unless He revealed Himself to us. Now, the Bible says without excuse when we look at the heavens, but that don't reveal who He is. It tells us there's somebody, but it doesn't tell us who He is. We hear that over and over, and it has to be said. For a period of time, God did reveal Himself. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, He said He revealed Himself through the prophets. In verse 2, He said the time came, He revealed Himself in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it in many different ways to many different individuals. It is God's nature to communicate. What a sad thing it is if God existed and didn't communicate to us. What a sad thing it is if God existed and we had to try to find Him. He never communicated. He stayed hid from us. He doesn't hide from us. He's given us a revealed scripture here to read, Genesis to Revelation, that we know everything about Him He wants us to know until we get to heaven and know more on the other side. The Bible is a record of God's communication to us. So we study the Bible, we learn the Bible, we live by its principles, we teach it, we preach it the best we can in this side of eternity, knowing that it is who He is, and therefore we always come up short. This is infinite, and we find ourselves as finite. And so it's the only book God has written to reveal Himself. It is true, it can be the measuring rod of life. Unfortunately, though, there are those who deny its authority. And when one denies its authority, they have no authority of who God really is. Look anywhere else you want to. Say, well, I know somebody that died and God showed Himself to him. Don't hand me that. Don't hand me that. You say, well, isn't it true? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to believe what the Bible says other than something like that. But I want to change. There's a lot of things happening these days by people that lead you astray. And if I see something and it's backed up scripturally, then it's certainly right. God is a miraculous working God. But the Bible has to back it up, and it has to be backed up in context also. Unfortunately, there are those who deny its authority. They mock and they laugh its authority. Also, many Christians say that they believe the Bible is God's Word, but they don't live as if it is. Some people become impotent. They become insecure and confused without convictions. They become uncertain because they don't really know who the true God is. And when they read in the scriptures, they fail to believe what He says about Himself. So they end up in social activities trying to soothe their conscience. Our churches today are suffering from a famine for God's Word. Self-styled men have decided that their own intellectualism is answering to everything in this life. So they remove from the Bible that which does not suit them. Churches then are given to entertainment and social programs and meaningless activity rather than preaching. Now, some of those things are good to break the monotony of life. Some of those things are good when they honor God. And we have those things here. But those things should never take the place of preaching. It is preaching that Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Therefore, you can't leave preaching the Word. If you have that and not the preaching of the Word, it cannot be a New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, I know some people don't like preaching the Word, but that's it. You look at the Scripture and you find these things are good for activity, for joy, for energy, jives in us. And there's a lot of things can happen to worship God in different ways. But you cannot let those things override the preaching of God's word. That's the most important thing for God to bless and use this out of eternity. In the midst of this mess, the word of God is lost. People view the Bible as a human document with mistakes. They use it to pretext it as a pretext to rattle off their opinions, but that's all. Even politicians will quote it every once in a while to get a little edge. You think they quote it because they believe the Bible? If they're born again, they probably do, but politicians will use Scripture all the time if they think it'll make an edge, if they think it'll get a vote. Amen? Amen, preacher? Amen. Man has a right to serve the living God. And when we look at these things in this life, there's many things that we need to understand. Destroy God's word and the true church authority is undermined. Those who are committed to the authority of God's word stand alone in the so-called Christian churches today. There's two quick points I want to give you on God revealing himself. The first one is simply this. The acceptance of God's word is not a matter of more or less intelligent of someone. It's not a matter of the more someone is more intelligent or less intelligent. The acceptance of God's word, that has nothing to do with that. The acceptance of God's word is by faith. Just simple faith. Childlike faith. It's always smarter to believe God than man. You say, amen, preacher, but that's what I want to do, believe God. Where do you believe it at? It's not what man says that you believe. It's what you see God says, and you have his word in your hands this morning. A moron who believes God is smarter than a PhD in God's sight, who doesn't believe God. You hear what I'm saying? An absolute moron is better off in God's sight who believes God than a PhD who does not believe God in God's sight. Because he makes all the difference in the world when it comes to this life and the life to come. To accept God's word is not a question of proof. Proof does not seem to help unbelievers. You give them proof and it doesn't seem to help at all. And yet on the other hand, when a believer sees proof, it enhances him. It begins to explode in his heart and he sees God more real than ever. Unbelievers hear proof and they walk away from it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world blinds their minds and their eyes where they can't see those truths. He cannot honestly evaluate proof. The Jews rejected the Messiah in spite of the miracles. If you look in John chapter 10, it's interesting as we look at what Jesus said. In John chapter 10, he made 10 verse 38 and 39. Jesus said, if I do the works of my Father, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, Jesus said. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. The Jews rejected the Messiah in spite of his miracles when he was here. He healed all their diseases. God is the creator. Man is the creation. God never gave the creature right to evaluate the creature from man's viewpoint. If we evaluate him from our viewpoint, we come up short because we don't even know how to explain him. We can't understand him completely as he explains himself this side of eternity. Unbelieving man is never granted the right to sit in judgment of God from his viewpoint, and yet God in mercy will allow him to even curse God if that be it for a period of time. Man has no right to demand that God do something just because a man wants it done. Belief in the Bible does not depend upon intelligence nor special information necessarily from man. Belief does depend upon faith and illumination in the revelation of God. Now, it may take intelligence to do that to some degree, but a lot of folks have the intelligence and special information, but they still do not believe in God and don't believe in his record. Belief depends upon faith, illumination, revelation. Philosophy is something man devises from man's intelligence and from man's situation. On the other hand, though, revelation is what God reveals through His Word. And He backs it up. Whatever we see, there'll be a line somewhere or another to back it up. So man trapped on earth, bound by time and space, he senses that there is some kind of power. He don't know what it is, so they call it God. Any type of supernatural, they call it God. They don't know who He is. Due to Satan's deception, man has invented many religions in an effort to find, quote, God. Christianity shows us how the true God reveals Himself, though. And I'm glad that God had cut our church on. He doesn't reveal Himself through this book. This book is His absolute authority about Himself. Until the Holy Spirit takes us home, or till Jesus comes back and gets us. See, God left us here. He gave us His Spirit when we trusted Christ. He gave us His Word, which the Holy Spirit inspired. And the Holy Spirit uses that Word to exalt Jesus Christ and reveal God the Father as who He is. And then we see who we are in His sight under those circumstances, those conditions. Christianity shows us how the true God reveals Himself. God is not some floating fog. God is not something like, you know, some kind of force or cosmetic energy. God is an almighty, self-existent, self-determined, all-powerful person with a mind and will of His own. And we have to realize is He's running this thing, not us. And what's going to happen one day, He's going to prove that when He ends up everything and sees that everything He said was so. Even though there'll be many who will miss that. God wrote the Bible to reveal Himself to the lost world. He wrote it so man would know that He is all that man needs in this life and the life to come. So wait a minute, preacher, that don't sound right because there's a lot of things I need physical. Don't you think God knows that? One day He said, what shall a man profit, gain the whole world, or lose his own soul? Though? Jesus said, oh, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The second point of God revealing Himself, revelation is the content of God's communication to man. See, revelation is God's free, voluntary act of communication. He wrote this book through men who responded to Him. The Bible reveals God's power. It reveals His glory. It reveals His wrath, His love, His grace. Man is without excuse. In Romans 1:20, read it sometimes. God said, by the very things that you see, proves that He exists. The visible things prove that there's an invisible God. So that when you see the visible things, you may not believe, but you're without excuse. Because the visible things reveal the mighty hand of God, even though you may not, or one may not believe that in this world. He said, so man's without excuse. And the thing that is, then why, someone will say, why are so many people, why do they miss Him then? That's a good question, I think. Why is it that so many miss Him? And I think the reason is the difficulty is not with God's revelation. The difficulty is with man's reception of that revelation. You see, it amazes me through the years, and if anybody becomes this church long, you know the message has been around the same center for this church. And now, all over the world, they can hear at times. Talked to a fellow this morning that called, Brother Glenn, called from Germany. And I talked to him on the phone. And he said, preacher, I've been looking at your stream up in Germany, the services here. So I'm saying that that's how God gets His Word out as God's people respond to Him and to Him at that particular time. Again, in John chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20. Here is what Jesus said. He said, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, He says. Because why? Their deeds are evil. And He says, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Man rejects clear revelation. That's what Jesus is telling us when He was here before He left 2,000 years ago. So again, Romans 1:19 and 20. There's something built within a man that makes him believe in God until it's tampered with. And again, may I read that to you quickly. 19, he said, that's verse 18 said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. And God, look in Romans chapter 1 And he said, an unrighteous man who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God had showed it unto them. How? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made. That's the visible things. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's so interesting to understand that God has left us with his word to show us there's something built within man that makes him believe in God until it's tampered with. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's why you don't find 10-year-old atheists? You don't find 10-year-old atheists. You don't find 3-year-old, a 5 or 6-year-old atheist. They just have a simple heart to believe. Well, I'm better educated than that. Don't be a fool, though. God says a man's a fool to deny that he exists. What I'm saying to you, it's natural for kids to believe in God because they have a simple heart. And by the way, it should be that way with adults, because we still have the childlike faith that's needed and have available to us to be saved. Kids don't have any intellectual problems. They don't have any atheistic philosophy. We say they're just kids. Well, that's what God says. We got to come to him. I don't care if I'm 100 years old. You got to come like a child. You can't come with your intellectual prestige and so forth. If you do, God will just write you off. You come like a child. See, we get so smart, we got a question for everything that God says. A child's not smart enough to have those questions, so he just believes God. Amen. You say, how do I know that? Because a child believes you. How many times you have to tell your child 10 years old something? They'll ask you 20 times in one day what something is, and you have to tell them over and over and over again. Why? They just simply, they believed it and forgot it. Believed it and forgot it. There's many times you had children, you know what I'm talking about. I wish you'd quit asking me that. I told you 10 times. Yeah. They'll ask you again if you wait, because they want to know and they forget. And they believe what you say at the time. Most of them. When they get to be 15, 16-year-old, they start questioning a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that either, as long as you have the right answers for them. They don't have intellectual problems or atheist philosophy. It's only when men grow up and get educated and sophisticated that he decides he's going to be his own God. God not only gives natural revelation, but special revelation. He's done that through the years. In our day, we have the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. That's the best revelation we can have. But he's in times past, he appeared visible. Genesis 18, appeared to Abraham. Exodus 3 in the burning bush, he appeared to Moses. Genesis 32, Jacob wrestled with God all night, angel of God all night long. God spoke through the mouths of prophets in the Old Testament. There had dreams in Genesis 28, 37, 40, 41. Joseph had a dream. And they had visions. He spoke at times in Genesis 12, 1, verbally. Acts, he spoke. In Hebrews 1, I just read how the writer said that he spoke through the prophets, and now in these days, he has spoke through Jesus Christ. So in that day, these days now, he has spoken by his Holy Spirit through his word. Not only do we hear, that we not hear his word verbally, we have it written down. By the way, hear words verbally can be distorted by the time they've repeated 3 or 4 times. And it seems like God said when he got through the Old Testament, in the New Testament, new creation, I'm going to create a new way, so I'm going to give the word of God written down so you'll hear it and also be able to read it at the same time. God reveals himself by his miracles. We see that. The New Testament is full of that. Elijah, in his particular day, how do we know that what you say is true, Elijah? Elijah would present a miracle. And they say, well, this guy looks okay. Look what God did through him. Peter in Acts 3, man at the temple, been lame from birth. And when Peter and John, God used them to heal. They went leaping into the temple. No doubt gave them an audience to preach the word of God. The apostles in 2 Corinthians 12:12 had the signs of that from God. Now, miracles prove that God was speaking. But wait, somebody said, what about today? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. They didn't have the word of God like we have today. They only had the Old Testament. But we have the complete word of God. And so I say to you, before the Holy Spirit came, they didn't have what we have today, but we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. He came after God's word was complete. Then God wrote down his revelation in writing. All we need to know is written in writing. He knew that oral communication can get sloppy at times and be distorted and destroyed at times. Think what it'd be like without this book. Think what it's like by having this book that people take out of context. Suppose you and I didn't have the Word of God to run reference on to see if something is true or not true. We'd be in a worse mess than we are now. God has given us His Holy Word. God wrote it down. It cannot be changed, though man is trying to change it by rewriting it every year or two. A new so-called writing comes out. Man tries to. You look at the mess and that's written with the word complete. Think what it'd be with, if we didn't have this word. Once God wrote it down, it cannot be changed. He preserved his revelation in a book. Do you realize that all the biblical prophets are gone? You say, wait a minute, I heard someone tell me, they said a prophet, he prophesied that. That's not scripture. Did you know the people today that have this book are preachers and carriers of the gospel and the word of God? Our prophecy comes from what's written. I'm not looking at someone say, get along with God, and last week had experience, he's going to give me something new not found in the Bible. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to believe it if he does. If it's found in this Bible until Jesus comes back, this is all I need to know. There's things in this Bible can line up with, great. But I'm not looking for something mythical. I'm looking for the reality of faith that God has given me that's strengthened by this Word of God. And I think again, I have God's truth in my hands, just like those prophets in the Old Testament had in the Old Testament, and I have more so in the New Testament. I have God's Word just like the apostles had as he moved to write. They moved to write. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, Moses had been long gone, yet his writings still exist as they read the words of Moses in that particular day. Again, they read, they explained it, they helped them understand Moses' writings. Not one miracle was done at that time. It was the Word of God. God put emphasis on His Word. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, God put emphasis on His Word. You think Jesus couldn't have sapped him out to start with? He could have said, pow, that he could have thought it and he'd been gone. But he didn't. He used the Word of God against him. And he showed us that's the power we have. You don't need a miracle. Hear me now. You don't need a miracle to tell whether I'm telling you the truth this morning or not. You have the Word of God. The greatest miracle that ever happened to me is when I got saved. Now, God has healed my body a couple of times, but the greatest miracle that ever happened to me is when I got saved. And that'll be the greatest miracle that ever happened to anybody when they get to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the Word of God. You have it that you can read. All you have to do is study it. I'm talking about God revealing Himself. False teachers can be discovered fast today. How? Check the Bible. Check what they say. Go home and read it in context. Ask God to help and read around it and through it and do Bible references so you can understand the context. See what Jesus told the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verse 29. You remember he died and went to Hades? And in the fire, he cried across the Gulf Strip to Abraham. Father Abraham, send some back to my five brethren. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Yeah, but if they send someone from this place beyond death, if they'll send someone back there, hear him. And Abraham said, go read it, Luke 16. If they don't hear Moses and the prophet, they won't hear someone from the dead. Isn't that strange? What do you mean, preacher? He says if they won't hear the word that God has preserved here in this book that came through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for our day, more so than ever before. Moses and the prophet was for the Old Testament up to that time. If they won't hear what they say, they won't hear someone though they're raised from the dead. And likewise, brothers and sisters, we have the complete Bible. I have the complete Bible, folks. And I open this book, I study this book, I try not to be boring when you come here. I spend my life at when you study this book. And I want you to know, I have the Bible. You have a Bible. You can read that Bible. You can study that Bible. So I know other people say they teach the Bible too. Get the right Bible when you start. And then follow that, asking God to help you understand it in context. Don't get on a religious trip with somebody in their religious organization. Get in the Bible and ask God to give you the right concept, what's going on, so you can understand just for your benefit. Not to be critical, just to be your benefit. Likewise, we have the complete Bible. Therefore, we can check anyone. So we are responsible. God has revealed himself to us through his word. We are without excuse. The question is, what are we going to do about it? If one's not saved, the only thing to do is trust Jesus Christ. Look at the scriptures. Let someone give you the verses to go read. You don't have to say, well, the preacher is supposed to say. Look at the verses. Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 13, whosoever called upon the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Get the verses, look at it, go into it, the Bible, and read what he has to say. And then let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. I challenge you, he'll do it. Someone listening by the way on radio, someone looking right now through Upstream on a website somewhere, get the Bible and read, or ask someone to give you some verses from the scripture that deals with what it means to trust Christ as Savior. And I guarantee you, if you'll be honest with God and want to know what he says, he'll show you. He'll show you. It won't come just because somebody says, hey, he's a preacher. No, it'll come because someone loved you enough to care for you to say, please, just give God a chance. Listen to what he has to say. Read what he has to say. And if you'll do that, he'll save your soul. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from. And then on us who are saved, he wants us to do the same thing to grow thereby. He wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to read it so we will know for ourselves who he is. And when others come along and try to shake us and try to deceive us and try to mock us and make fun of us, we just go to our Heavenly Father. And we know that strength that comes. And what will happen every once in a while, we'll see things happen. We bleed because of his word. You know what God says? God said sometimes he's done everyone in here. He's done every one of us. So if you can't read, he's done it. He'll come along someone and say, this person really trusts in me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something great in their lives. He touches their body, or he touches them in some physical situation, or he lets a child get well that was sick. He does things for us. You know why? Because he sees that we don't rely on those to trust him. We believe this book is his authority for us. And he just lets those things cross our path to enhance our heart to know our God is a great God. He's a wonderful God. I didn't need that to trust him, but I am so grateful he heard my prayer as I claimed the scriptures and claimed the promises that God made. He brought those things to me. I didn't even touch my body in 1992 and I like to die, but I'm so glad he did. I trusted him before that happened. I'd have trusted him if that had never happened, he'd made me well. What I'm saying to you, he's worthy to be trusted, but he lets those things cross our path at times to time, slap Satan in the face and said, hey, this is my child. I don't have to do that for him to trust me. Look, Satan, he don't need this for me for him to trust me, but I'm going to do it because I'm his father and I'm his God. And he trusts me. He walks with me. When the fun comes, when the mockery comes, when all comes, watch him. He'll still walk with me. He may walk away sometime weeping. He may be down, but he'll still walk with me. She'll still walk with me. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the word of God. The Lord, help us in an unusual way to reveal you as you try to reveal yourself to us. Someone said, well, I'm glad God reveals, but Lord, our life should manifest also that revelation. Our life should show, without saying a word, I'm not ashamed of the one who loved me so much and did so much for me. God, help us to learn to trust you because we've opened this book and read it. Dear God, we've tried to let you reveal yourself to us. by studying the Scriptures. And we thank you for that. And dear Lord, there come a time we'll face calamities. I've seen mothers lose children a couple of days old. I've seen them lose children 5 and 6 years old. I've seen them lose 12 and 13 years old. I've seen some in teenagers. And we all know what it is to lose a mother or dad, a husband, a wife. But I'm so glad, God, this book tells me God so loves me. I don't care what happens this life. He knows I trust Him. And when those things happen, God's going to show how He's going to bring great strength to that individual. When a few days go and a few months go by, Satan has made a lie. Because he said, hey, you do this, you take this away, you do that, he'll quit serving you like it did Job. And God knows our heart. And he said, no. He knows that I'm doing this for him. I'm doing this through them. The Word is what they depend on. It's that Word that they go to when I, in the quietness of the hour, comfort their hearts and give them assurance that the world may laugh and mock, all is well in the house of God in the time of crisis and in the time of good times. Holy Spirit, exalt Christ today in someone's heart. Show God the Father as He tries to reveal Himself to us. Help us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.